Okay. Good. If you can't tell, audio listeners, this is also a video show because there's going to be a little bit more screw-upping this.
We'll have a podcast, an actual regular podcast Monday and Tuesday, so
we'll just
do this one live.
We are recording, though, right? Mm-hmm. So this will also go up as a podcast. Monday and Tuesdays will be probably less in-depth than this because I think it's fair to say that me and Chris only know about the first round players. Would you agree with that, Chris?
Yeah, a couple. We know about a couple.
Like maybe a few of the second round players, but like after that,
nobody really.
After the first half of the second round, we're going to be kind of lost.
To be honest, after that, it gets less and less meaningful.
Well, that's not necessarily true. Alvin Kamara came out of the third round last year.
I mean,
came out of third round.
For the most part, though, I don't mean mm-hmm. like literally. Like, it's you have a few players that are meaningful to talk about.
Right, for sure. So the way we're gonna do this tonight is we are going to go through pick by pick. We're gonna talk about who the pick was. We're each gonna grade it. Then we're gonna say if it's what we think about fits from best to worst. What are they doing? Is the worst meh? Is okay? Whatever. Good is good. Great is great. Excellence, obviously, the best. And then we'll just give some thoughts on each pick. We'll do that all at once. So I will throw it to you. We'll kind of alternate on who starts. So I'll throw it to you first, Chris.
Yeah.
The first pick of the draft was Baker Mayfield. What did you kind of think about a grade, the fit, and just some general thoughts?
I thought it was of course he's a good player. To me, he was the second quarterback. I thought Sam Darnold was going to be a better prospect, but I think the fit for me is kind of mediocre. I don't know what you want. What do we want to do? Fit grades as?
I told you. What are you doing? Meh. Good. Great. Excellent.
Okay. I was doing something else. I'm going to go with the fit as meh because how much the Cleveland's failed on draft picks with quarterbacks over the past few years and the Johnny Manziel. We look at Baker Mayfield. He's had some history, and it's seemingly history does not go well for the Cleveland Browns. So I'm going to go – I think it could be a good fit. On field, it's a good fit, but I just don't know if with the Browns' history, it's going to come back and bite them like it did with Johnny Manziel. So I'm going to go good just because I don't think I should take away for that reason. I'm going to go good.
And then don't forget the grade.
Oh, the grade of the I would go A. Not A plus, but A.
I think this was a shocker. It was really a shocker to me just because I know there was a lot of buzz about this earlier, but kind of throughout the whole draft process, they were really pointing towards Sam Darnold or Josh Allen or one of these bigger quarterbacks. And Hugh Jackson has come out and said that he likes a bigger quarterback. Mayfield's another one of these shorter guys. Yes, there are the Manziel comparisons. I don't really see it. I think that Mayfield's a much smarter player inside the pocket. A better passer, and yes, he's had like one outside run in on the field, but like the thing, his on field stuff where he's planting the flag and grabbing his crotch or whatever, like I don't mind that. I don't think that takes down. I think that just shows that he's got some competitive fire. So I don't think Mayfield's a bad prospect.
He's been in legal trouble as well.
But not as much as Manziel was.
No, and, but I mean, I'm saying in general, he has been in legal trouble.
Well, just once, and it was a minor thing. I'm a big guy who believes in second chances, so I try to kind of put that off-field stuff to the side, although, of course, it obviously is important when drafting. I think it's a good fit. Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield are kind of the same body type, and type of player, I would say. Both like to scramble, both have decent arms, and so they can kind of scheme up the offense the same way. Overall, I give the pick a B. I thought they should have gone Darnold, but it was a solid pick at one. Tyrod Taylor, and any more thoughts on pick one?
Well, I just wanted to keep in mind that that's why I did take back what I said. He was a good fit if the off the field stuff doesn't come back. I wasn't going to discredit him I wasn't going to discredit the draft pick because of the off-field stuff. I think they learned from that, from the Johnny Manziel stuff, and I think it's gonna be a good fit as long as all the off-field stuff. And then I go back and I think about it, and how much fire he has, and how much emotion he has, and energy. I think that will help Cleveland more than it'll hurt them.
For the QB, let's go way too early. And tell me, for each QB, let's say, which week they start.
You want to start with Baker?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, week one. As we get to them.
I think he'll start week one.
I don't think so. I think they'll start with Tyrod for a little bit and kind of let him develop. I think he'll be starting by week five. That's my pick. So the Giants took Saquon Barkley at two. For me, I mean, this is a grand slam pick. Like, you can't go wrong here. Everyone said he was the best player in the draft, hands down. I would have liked to see him gone quarterback, but they obviously believe that Eli Manning's the answer. I don't believe that, but the Giants do. It's an excellent fit. Wherever Barkley landed was going to be an excellent fit. What does concern me is the fact that people seem to forget that the Giants' O-line is really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
And that does affect, I think we both know, how well a running back is going to perform. Yeah. So that does worry me a little bit, but that's not on Barkley. He's got an A in my book, and it's a good pick, although I would have liked to see him go quarterback.
Well, as far as addressing the offensive line, they would have had to trade down, and that would have been, I think they did the best option taking Saquon Barkley. It's the safe option. You can grab an offensive lineman in the second round or third round or fourth, or between the second and fourth round, a decent offensive lineman or two. This is a safe pick. This is what I call a safe pick, so I don't have too much to say about it. It would have been a good move for 25 teams in the league. So, yeah, I would say good move. Let me go back to the grading thing. I would grade it an A. As far as the fit, it's a great fit.
Okay. Yeah, I'd say it's an excellent fit. New York Jets. Oh, take Sam Darnold at three. We'll let you start on this one. We're going to rotate back and forth on who starts.
All right. This was a great pickup as well. I thought if you could pick up Baker or Sam Darnold, it would have been a great pickup, a great draft pick. So this is a great fit for both sides, and I would say I would grade it an A plus. It's the only team I would grade an A plus. Well, there's like two or three of them, but grading A plus, that's one of them.
Oh, I didn't go up to A pluses. For him, I gave him an A. I think it's an excellent fit. They're going to be able, and he doesn't have to start right away either. That's a nice thing with him. Josh McCown, say what you will about him, but he played very well last year, and coming off an injury, he can help mentor Sam Darnold. Teddy Bridgewater, we don't know what he's got left in the tank, but they've got three very solid options at quarterback. Sam Darnold isn't going to have to be thrown into the fire in week one. I think Sam Darnold starts in week three. What about you?
I'm going to go week three as well. That seemed like a good starting point for me as well. I was thinking week five, but I'm going to go week three. It won't take long, I don't think. But I do think Josh McCown's going to play better knowing that Sam Darnold's right there.
Yeah, and from everything we've heard about Josh McCown, he's a great team guy. He really likes to help the younger players in the locker room. So it's an absolutely awesome fit for Darnold. You know, I don't think they could have gone wrong with that pick, and they didn't. It was they were extremely fortunate that Darnold fell to them. Especially
it was a good pick, no doubt. I mean, no question about it. I'm gonna come back and bite us, but right now I think it's a good pick. What?
I'm gonna let you do the fourth one while I lean out of the way of my camera and blow my nose, and I'll give my fourth one. Okay. So move us on to the fourth pick.
All right, and fourth, the Cleveland Browns selecting Denzel Ward, quarterback. Cornerback. I thought I said quarterback. Cornerback. I think this is an odd move. They did not draft the best player. I think Bradley Chubb was the best player available. Denzel Ward's really good, but I think I would have had to go Bradley Chubb. The fit's going to be good, but the grade I give it is a B. If they would have drafted Barkley, Chubb, I would have said A, but with it being Denzel Ward, I'm going to go with a B.
Yeah, I give it a B as well. I said the fit was meh. It's surprising. You're right. They should have gone with Chubb. Their corners, they needed a corner, but they could have addressed that. They could have used they have a ton of second round picks. They could have traded into the last half of the draft and taken a guy like Jair Alexander, especially with the run on offensive linemen in this draft. At the end of the first, there were some really good cornerbacks left. It's an in-state prospect, obviously. Went to Ohio State. The Browns, I'm assuming, probably do a lot of scouting with what's near them, you know? So, it should have been Chubb. And speaking of Chubb, my Denver Broncos took Bradley Chubb at 5. Guy given an A. Excellent pick. Excellent fit. It's not what I wanted to see. I've been very vocal about the fact I wanted Josh Rosen or a quarterback, and he was there. And I think the Broncos missed an opportunity by passing on him. They didn't really need defensive help as far as pass rushing went. But now they have the most dominant defensive line, I'd say, in the AFC. I think that's fair to say. I think maybe the only defensive line pass rushing squad better would be Jacksonville, and then in the NFC, the Rams. But they have what they're building on defense.
Maybe the Vikings. Maybe they're right in there.
They're building through defense. They think Case Keenum can be the guy. And I didn't necessarily like the pick, but they're going all in on defense, and they got the best available defensive player out there.
I think it's pretty clear that they had already decided that they wanted Case Keenum as their starter, so I'm gonna have to give this an A. Because it was kind of tough, because I was like, if they didn't want Case Keenum the starter and they were trying to look for a quarterback, this is an F. They failed. But it was clear.
Well, I don't think you can give Bradley Chubb an F.
If they were looking for, if they did not believe in Case Keenum, and I knew they were looking for a quarterback, I would have said an F.
Maybe a B, but some people said he was better than Garrett coming out.
Now, and here's the difference. Grading the pick is different than grading him, Bradley Chubb. So I
kind of graded the players, or we, yeah, yeah, you're right.
I think, but I'm gonna give this an A because I feel confident that the Broncos are gonna go into the season with Case Keenum, had planned to all along, and I think this is a good fit. This will make their defense back into the top at a top level again.
Yeah. Quentin Nelson at 6.
You want me to go?
Yeah.
All right. It's a good move. The offensive line in Indianapolis was one of the worst, allowing them almost the most sacks on Andrew Luck back when he was playing, and Brissett. So I'm gonna say this is a good, very. This is a good move. I'm gonna give it an A, and I'm gonna give it a good fit.
All right. Yeah, excellent fit for me. Yeah. It's an A. This is a most no-brainer pick ever. I would have preferred if the Broncos took Nelson over Chubb, to be honest with you, because I think we need more offensive line help than we do defensive help. But, I mean, this is a guy that like, people in the scouting community were calling, like, a future Hall of Famer. Yeah. And you just don't hear that about offensive linemen coming out that often. And listen, even if Andrew Luck doesn't play this year, Jacoby Brissett behind a good offensive line could be dangerous. I mean, we saw what happened when he had time, even a little bit of time to throw last year. I really love this pick. Whoever the Colts have behind center, they're going to be well protected.
The chat says fire Eric. Like,
let's see, why?
Eric blowing his nose was the highlight of this Periscope.
Oh, who said that?
See, Brian said that, and got a couple of fire Erics, and I will save that one for a little.
Why bit. Fire Eric? Who's saying fire Eric? Pierce?
But probably because you were blowing your nose or something. But anyway, I'm gonna save the other question.
Hey, I'm only human, man.
Yeah, you're probably on your phone, actually.
No, I have to be.
Why?
That's where my draft grades are. We got.
Okay. Yeah, I see.
So, speaking of next one, Josh Allen at 7.
where do we want to go with this? I don't like. Let's see. I don't like where they. I don't like the trade up. I hate the trade up. That would get a.
They didn't give up that much, Phil.
They gave up.
They got to keep their second. They got to keep their second first rounder.
They gave up 2 second rounders. I just don't think they should have traded up.
They got to be able to. They were able to keep their second first rounder. In my book, I think that's a win.
But you look at it. Chicago wasn't going to draft a quarterback. San Francisco wasn't going to draft a quarterback. Oakland wasn't going to draft a quarterback. Even though Oakland traded out, but you look at Tampa Bay, they weren't going to draft a quarterback. Why did you move up? What did you move up for?
Because if you didn't move up, maybe Miami moves up.
Maybe, but you didn't have to move up that far.
Or Arizona moves up. I can't knock a team for moving up to get a quarterback.
That one I'm going to give an F because I highly disagree with it. But as far as the pick in general, I'm going to give it a B. It's a good I can't really say the fit right now. I'm just not sure about this one. I'm going to say a meh fit. Not good, not bad, though.
Yeah, I have the same fit. I think it's meh. I gave the trade a C. Josh Allen, I think, was the worst of the four. And from what we've heard, from what you've heard around, like, what everyone basically says is Allen has the highest potential of being a bust. So I am not really in love with that move when Rosen was still on the board. So, yeah, that's kind of what I thought of Josh Allen.
Brian agrees with me, by the way.
About what?
About Josh Allen, the trade-up.
Oh, I don't think they gave. If you're moving up to get a quarterback, and you believe in him, I don't think you can give up too much. That's just my personal opinion.
But when you look at it, Chicago was not going to draft a quarterback. The three picks ahead of him were not.
What about look? What Miami. Well then Arizona says to Oakland, "Hey, we'll trade up."
But this all happened before
Arizona. That. But what if Maybe. Arizona's like, "Oh my God, the Bills are getting closer to picking. We're going to trade ahead of them." They made the first move before everyone else. I can't argue.
Oh yeah.
All right.
We just have to disagree.
Roquan Smith at 8. I'm going to I know that this was supposed to be mine, but I'm going to throw this to you first because you're a Georgia fan. Tell us kind of what you thought about this.
I thought this was a very good trade. I thought this was one – oh, not trade. Oh, my gosh. I thought this was a very good draft pick. This was one of the best ones, actually. The Bears needed defensive help. I know you disagreed. You thought they needed a wide receiver. I didn't think so. I just think what they did with Taylor Gabriel and the other pickup. I can't remember the name right now, but I thought that was enough for – they didn't need that right now. I thought cornerback was the most important, but I think they thought Denzel Ward was going to be there. He ended up not being there, so – you take the next best defensive player, which it was Roquan Smith, which may have been the second best defensive player. So I give this an A. And if there was an A+, I would give it an A+. And this is a great fit. This is a fantastic fit, actually.
First off, I can see why wide receiver became less of a need. I would disagree that cornerback was a need for them because they have Kyle Fuller, who is widely considered one of the best young corners in the league. And their defense was really good last year. Like, defense was not the problem for them last year. Played very well. But that's kind of beside the point. I agree with you. I think this is an excellent pick for them. I think an underrated defense just got a really good linebacker and got a lot better. So I'm excited to see what the Bears do next year, and this makes me like them even more.
Yeah, this what matters here is the fact that they got better. Clearly on defense, this is going to make them – they could sneak up and be one of the more elite defenses next year. I think some people might say, which I'm not claiming, but some people might say that they're going to be a good defense. I think they might be a great going on great defense. Not.
I agree. Don't sleep on
the Bears.
Don't sleep on the Bears. But the Niners take Mike Mcglinchey at 9, offensive tackle. I graded this a C at the time I tweeted it out, but I realized I didn't give that many low grades. Like, I gotta give this pick a D. Like, offensive tackle was maybe a need, but they could have gotten him top of a second round. That there were better tackles available. There was still a bunch of A-class wide receivers on the board. There were a bunch of great defensive players on the board. And you went with a middling to late first-round offensive tackle. So I got to give it a D, and I got to say the fit is a what are you doing? I don't understand the pick. I thought it was an awful pick, and John Lynch mismanaged his draft tactics.
I wouldn't go that far to say I wouldn't. I don't think it's that terrible. I would give it a C. I don't think they need it. That wasn't the most important need. And I said that about a couple of picks during this draft, but I'd give it a D. And it's the fit.
But you got to look at the players that were. But if you that were still. Here's my case. You got to look at the players that were still on the board. Still had Derwin James, Minka Fitzpatrick. You had Calvin Ridley, DJ Moore, Cortland Sutton, all at wide receiver. You had these grade A players, and you didn't, and you passed on them for a tight end that you probably could have traded back into the late half of the first to get or picked up in the top of the second round.
Well,
My point being, it's not necessarily that Mike Maglicci is super bad, even though I don't really think he's going to be
a top need. I know what you're
just
saying.
It's just they passed on so many better players, and it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, which is where I was going to go with the fit thing. I know you said the fit is what are you doing, but I'm not. It's going to be a good fit. In the end, it'll be a good fit. But
I disagree.
Why? Because I think I
don't think they need an offensive tackle.
What does that mean? How does that mean it's not going to be a good fit? It could still be a good fit, even if they don't really. If it's not a top need.
Well, he's not a top nine pick, and he's not a good offensive tackle.
But what does that have to do with a fit? I mean,
Minka Fitzpatrick would have been a better fit. That's my argument.
But it's not a bad fit, then, is what you're saying. It's not a terrible.
I don't understand why they chose him, and that's why it's a bad fit.
Okay, I think I disagree with how you describe fitting a team, but I mean, what can I say?
That may be. All right. Next one. Cardinals take Josh Rosen at 10 for me. Got to give this an A grade. Excellent fit. He was my favorite quarterback in this draft. And the fact that he fell to 10, I don't know if you heard his like press conference, but he was like, can't believe it. And then people went ahead of me. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder. He's going to learn from Sam Bradford, one of the better quarterbacks in the league when he's healthy. I think this is an excellent fit for him. And people may not like what he said about 9 mistakes being drafted in front of him, but to me, that says that he's a competitor and he has fire in his belly and he wants to go out and compete. And I'm going to be rooting really hard for Josh Rosen in Arizona. I'm going to give it an A, and I think it's an excellent fit.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent fit as well, and I would give it an A as well. I mean, the Cardinals did what they had to do to move up to get him, and they didn't really have to do that much to get him, actually. They just moved from 15 to 10 because he fell further than anybody would have expected. I think people thought the Broncos were going to pick him up, which I would have too. but they were confident with Case Keenum. But yeah, I think it's a great fit, and I would give it an A as well.
All right. Minka Fitzpatrick to your beloved Dolphins.
Oh, gosh. I don't like the move. Okay, here's the thing. I don't like the move, but at the same time, I think it was a good move because quarterbacks by the draft pick number 11 were starting to be unavailable. They could have gone with Jackson, but I think that would have been a failure. So I think this was a good move. You got one of the best players that were available at the time. I thought Derwin James was better than Minka Fitzpatrick, or as a better
prospect. I don't know why people said that. I disagree, but
as a better prospect, but I think I would give. I'm still gonna give it an A, and it's gonna be a good fit. It'll be a good fit. Most of these are gonna be good fits. I have that feeling. At least the way I look at a player fitting with a team, I think they're gonna be good fits.
Yeah, I give it an A. It's a great pick. It's a slam dunk pick. You're right. There just weren't that many quarterbacks at the time. And, I mean, this isn't going to dramatically change how good the Dolphins are next year.
No.
By any means.
Of course not, no.
But I think he automatically becomes the best player on their defense. Now that Sue's gone. Maybe Cameron Wake, but I think
2 years he'll be the best player on their defense.
I think that, but the Dolphins will be in the top 10 next year again, picking. So they've got another shot at their quarterback or whatever they think they can do to improve their roster next year.
And unless something dramatic happens, I won't be betting on the Dolphins this year.
All right.
But anyway, that was besides the point. You want to go?
Yeah, Buccaneers took Vita Vea at 12. Grade A. Fit great for me, but not excellent. They needed secondary more, I think. They needed a safety, which Derwin James was still available. And they needed a corner more than I think they needed a pass rusher. But at the same time, it's an excellent pick. I thought he went way higher than I thought he would. I thought he'd be more like 15 to 18. Mm-hmm. But, I thought it was a decent pickup.
Yeah, I thought it was a good pickup as well. I kind of thought we're talking about the Bucks. Kind of get mixed up. Bucks. Yeah, this is a good move. Helps their defense. Their defense was pretty rough. They don't have that big star on defense. Maybe Vea will help and start. He'll probably be one of the stars on that defense very soon, if not by the end of next year, or even sooner. But this was a good move, good signing. I give it an A.
Yep. The Redskins picked up Deron Payne at 13.
This was what I think. I don't like the move because I thought that the Redskins would have gone offense and a wide receiver. I thought this was one of those where you thought maybe Calvin Ridley or DJ Moore would have gone, but I still like him because it was still a need. It just wasn't the top need. They just kind of switched it up. So I'm going to give it a B, and it's going to be a good fit.
What? Sorry, I got distracted. I was talking to my brother who lives down here.
I'm going to give it a B, and I think it's a good fit.
Yeah, I give it a B too.
I just don't think it was their top need.
Yep, I agree. All right. Here is the pick that confused me most of the night. The Saints drafting Marcus Davenport at 14. And it's not necessarily that Davenport's a bad fit. They just gave up way too much to take him. They had to trade. They traded up basically 13 spots, and they had to give up an extra first rounder. So the Green Bay Packers now have two first rounders next year. The Saints have none. And I guess if you're betting on yourself to be able to win the Super Bowl this year, that's not going to be a problem for you. But at the same time, like, there were better players on the board. And this guy's from a small school. Haven't really heard a lot about him. I can't judge him as a player. But from what I heard from the analysis and kind of the reaction I saw and what I thought, and just I thought they just give up. It's not a bad draft pick necessarily, like you said about the Bills. They just gave up way too much to get up there.
This gets an F for me. I don't like the trade at all. I hate the trade. It's pretty simple. They gave up way too much. You don't move up with it. Move up 10 draft picks. I think 10 draft picks to get Davenport. Like, I just think the talent between that him and the next one available, which I can't remember right off the top of my head who that was, but I don't think there was that much of a talent difference. This trade gets an F for me. I mean, that's just that simple. I was going to say, I don't base a grade off a trade based off of are they going to go to the Super Bowl? No, that's not what I base it off of. I base it off of, did they get the most out of what they gave up? Meaning, did they get the most talent out of moving up to get that drafted?
Well, I'm not.
Oh, I was just making sure people
know. I think you misunderstood what I was saying. Like, it, the Saints, we assume, are going to be pretty good next year. So that first round pick probably wouldn't have been very good anyways. Would have been like a bottom 10 pick probably.
You talking about the Saints?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with that as well. I think, in all, though, I'd give it an F.
I'd agree.
I think that's the only one I've given F, but that, yeah.
Raiders take Colton Miller, an offensive lineman, at 15. I give this one a D. I was really confused by this fit. They have some really good offensive linemen already, and guys like Donald Penn. They needed a defensive player though. Could you grab me one? They needed a defensive player though, and they didn't get one. So I did not like this one.
All right, I would give it a C. It's not a bad, it's not a terrible pick, but it's not a great one either. And it's a little bit of a good fit, but I'll give it a C.
The Bills took Tremaine Edmonds at 16. Great fit. For a defense that didn't have a lot of skill last year, they played way above their talent level. I think that has to do with Sean McDermott and his coaching level. This makes them a really good defense. I don't know that much about Tremaine Edmonds, but a lot of people love him. So I give this one an A. I think it's an excellent fit.
Yeah, I pretty much I would agree with you there. Hold on a second. Anyway, I would agree that this is more of they got the best player that they thought was available. So I'm going to give it a B.
Awesome. Up next, the Chargers taking Derwin James at 17.
Okay. Oh, I keep on forgetting when we're going backwards. This gets an A, and if, like I said, if they're A+, they'd get an A+. I love this move. Derwin James, probably the top, if not the top defensive prospect, in my opinion. He's the second. So this definitely gets an A from me.
Yeah, the fact he fell this far was shocking to me.
I'm shocked that he fell past top 10.
It's an A. It's an excellent pick. A defense that was awesome last year. And I think as much as we both disagreed on the Chargers this last year, I think we would both agree that they finished with a top 10 defense. A defense that was awesome last year with Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa as the pass rushers, and then Casey Hayward as a shutdown corner. Now they get a great safety to put up top. I mean, it's way too early, and this bit me last year, but I think I'm going to have to go with it again. The Chargers have to be the prohibitive favorite to win that division at this point, I think. And I think if they don't make the playoffs, someone's going to get fired in San Diego. Or L.A., sorry.
They should. I'm tempted to take the same position that I did last year, except not with the Dolphins, of course. I wouldn't pick a team. But it's just hard to do that with a team that's got so much talent. This team should be in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, they should win the division hands down. Yeah, so. Well, we'll have some time to think about
Denver,
it for sure.
Denver's defense is going to be much better.
Denver has no chance of winning the division, and I'm a Denver Broncos fan.
I don't know. I just don't. Right. I don't. I'm not ready to say yet. I'm not saying that I don't think they'll win it, just because I don't think offensively they're going to be good enough. But defensively, they're going to be back to where we were talking before. Not like top 10, but they're going to be very good. But anyway.
All right.
Where are we at? Green Bay Packers.
Yes, the Packers take Jair Alexander at 18. Gave it an A. Gave it an excellent. I didn't know much about him, so I asked Tristan about him, and here's what our good friend Tristan Beckman, hardcore Louisville fan, said. He said, excellent move by the Packers. Gained a future first tonight and still got their guy in Jair. He's fast, physical cornerback with tremendous ball hawking ability, can tackle well, and figures to make an impact on special teams as well. So, I mean, I don't know that much about Jair Alexander, but Green Bay needed a corner and they got one.
Yeah, I'm just going to go based off of what I've heard on this one as well. Jair is a top cornerback, and the Packers need anything the Packers can get on at the cornerback position that's a good prospect is a win-win. So I'm gonna give that an A. And they moved down. So they moved down and got another first-rounder for next year. I mean, yeah. That's a win. That one gets an A.
All right.
You can't even pass that up.
So up next, the Cowboys took Leighton Vander Esch at 19. I gave this one a B. Good fit. They need linebacking help. Sean Lee's an excellent linebacker, but he's got some concussion problems and some injury problems. They add some depth to a pretty shallow linebacking core, and they've needed to improve the defense for a while. This is good. They also have their first-round pick from 2 years ago who hasn't played yet, who I forget his name. I want to say Nelson from Notre Dame, who is coming off a pretty severe knee injury, who will be coming back. So I think it's a good pick, and we'll get to this later in our winners and losers. I was shocked they didn't take a wide receiver here, but especially seeing as no wide receivers have been taken at that point, and they had their pick. But I thought it was a good move to get a linebacker. But I give it a B because I thought they needed wide receivers a little more.
Yeah, I'm gonna give mine, and I'm gonna check in on the comments to see if anybody said anything. But I think this was a good move. I think I've graded a B as well. I thought I kind of retract what I was thinking earlier because I said I thought I originally was gonna give this a C. Just because I thought the Dez replacement of Dez was more needed, but I was like, well, there's some good prospects in the second round. I'm going to retract what I said, and I'm going to give them a B. I think this is a good move as far as linebackers go, but I didn't think it was their top need. But the only reason I did not give it that C grade was because there are some good there's some good wide receivers in the second round. Let's see. Brian says, Packers cashed in on Sate's stupidity. I agree with you. I think we would both agree with that.
Absolutely. 100%, Brian. Shout out to the Bucks, by the way, forcing game 7.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to ask how that game was. Let's see. Pierce says, maybe not better for that team. What? No. Okay. Let's see. Okay, the Bryant trade. We're gonna get into the Martavius Bryant trade in a little
Thank
bit.
Thank you for reminding us of that. Actually, because we skipped over when the Raiders picked.
That was Pierce.
So Chris, let's focus on that. Lean back a little bit. What did you think about?
I thought we were gonna wait till we got to the Steelers.
Or the Raiders. Well, yeah, we'll just wait till we get to the Steelers. Don't let me forget though. Okay,
that was pretty much it. I was.
The Lions took Frank Ragnow at 20. He's a center. I think both of us don't know a lot about him, so I'm just gonna save us both the effort. I'm gonna say it's a C grade. It's a meh pick. They could have gone with a wide receiver, but. The Lions don't have that many huge needs, so they could go on with a running back, but I think they believe in LeGarrette Blount. According to Josh, our good friend who's an Arkansas fan, Ragnow didn't give up a sack in his entire career at Arkansas, so that's pretty impressive.
That's pretty impressive.
I'll give it a C. and kind of a meh. And then I'll just let you go really quick.
I'm just gonna give it a B. I'm just gonna give it a B because I don't think it's a bad move. I don't think it's leaning towards bad move. I think it's a decent move. It's not good or bad.
Well, pardon me, one sec. In his 4 years at Arkansas, it's still really good.
I was gonna say there's no. I was thinking, I'm like, how in the world did no sacks in 4 years? It's crazy to me.
Yeah, a run on centers, Billy Price at 21 to the Bengals. I gave it an A. He was considered the best center in the draft, according to the pro folks, and I'm not going to argue with them on offensive line grading just because, I don't know that much about it. It's a great fit. Again, was surprised they passed on a wide receiver of the Bengals, especially with AJ Green getting older. They're rebuilding their offensive line, and when Andy Dalton has a good offensive line, he can play like a top 15 quarterback. When he doesn't, he's one of the worst in the league. So it's good that they're building their offensive line.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it an A as well. I was gonna give it a B, but they're building off. I'm gonna give them an A. They needed more offensive line help than the Detroit Lions did, so I'm gonna give them an A. And they did pick up the center gradings. I'm not sure about either. The whole, I don't know if Billy Price was better than what's his name from Arkansas, but I'm gonna give it an A.
Yeah, Rashawn Evans went at 22 to the Titans. What do you think about that move?
That's a good. I'm gonna give that an A as well. I think picked up a top need. I don't have a whole lot to say about this move. You got your need. If you got a need and you got a good player, I'm gonna give you an A. So I'm gonna give them an A. That simple.
They. Jarrell Casey, I agree with everything you said. Jarrell Casey was a Pro Bowler last year. They added Malcolm Butler. I think this team could be like the Bears were last year, kind of a team that's going to get slept on defensively, but
Yeah.
they could have a very, very good D this
Yeah.
year. I'm going to throw this next one to you as well, just because you're a Georgia fan. Isaiah Wynn, the guard out of Georgia, went at 23 to the Patriots. What do you think of this move for them?
Well, some of the grading that I've seen in this trade is kind of odd. Some of them aren't giving him that great of a grade, but I'm gonna give it an A because of how bad the Patriots offensive line was last season. There was a point where we were talking about that we didn't know that they were going to beat the Jaguars in the AFC Championship because of their offensive line. This is a great improvement, a very physical back, a very physical guard, he's a more run blocker type of guard. So, but I'm gonna give it an A. Some
I
people don't
agree.
like it as much. I don't know why, but I like it.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, can't really talk about offensive linemen as much, but I agree with you. All right. But Panthers took wide receiver DJ Moore at 24. I gave this one a B. I heard somewhere before the draft that I heard some analysts say they thought DJ Moore was the best wide receiver in the draft. And we'll get to him, I assume, in our winners and losers talk. The fact that they didn't take Calvin Ridley here was a little bit shocking to me. People were saying just because they got Torrey Smith, they didn't have a need for wide receiver. Torrey Smith's an older wide receiver who's slowing down a little bit. I like this move. I think it's a good fit. And I'm gonna go D. I think I give it a B. Good fit. And he'll help their offense.
Well, here's my thing with wide receivers. It's that's based off of opinion on some of them. Some of them are basically the same, but so I'm gonna give this an A. They got what they needed. They got a top player at the position. They thought Moore was better than Ridley, so I'm gonna have to give that an A. I can't blame them for it.
All right, knowing what we know now, and let's not spoil the 32nd pick because I'd say that was probably the most anticipated pick of the entire draft, for some reason, just because of who was involved. But
I don't think so.
Hayden Hurst, tight end, at first I gave us a D, that was in the moment. Knowing what we know now, I'm going to give this an A. A tight end was a place of need for them. No tight end was really worth going in the first round, but they got their wide receivers in free agency, and they needed a tight end, and they got one. They addressed the position of need. I'll give this a B, actually, just because tight end wasn't as strong. But, yeah, I think this is this is a B. It's not bad. And because of who they took at 32, this makes their pick better. If they hadn't taken the person they took at 32, who we'll get to at 32, then this would have been a very bad pick. But it turned out being looking okay in hindsight.
I'm gonna give this a B as well. You addressed the one of your top needs, may not have been the top one, but it was one of the top three, for sure. What they picked at 32, I'm not gonna put as much effect into, and three, it's just another piece to add to Joe Flacco and or this 32nd pick. But that's pretty much all I'd say. It's gonna be a good fit, and I'm gonna give it a B.
Calvin Ridley went to the Falcons at 26.
It's kind of shocking to me.
It was absolutely shocking. He should have gone in the top 10. Like, I don't understand why he fell so much. Let's start with that. I think both of us agree it's an A pick. It's an excellent fit. I'd say that they have now one of the best offenses in the division. I wouldn't say league. I think they're still. I'd say the Rams are a better offense.
They're one of the top offenses in the league, especially.
I mean, you just added Jan
can improve his play calling.
You just added, and that's what makes an even more perfect fit. Sarkisian worked with Ridley in Alabama, and I mean. Yeah, Jones, one of the top two receivers in the league, alongside Ridley. Like, I don't know, you glow. I'm really excited to see this in action this year.
This is, some people are going to say, why? And I know Brian asked, why did the Falcons draft a wide receiver? Well, you look at it, they let Taylor Gabriel go to Chicago. And I thought, well, this isn't their top need, but you got... Calvin Ridley was one of the top wide receivers, if not the top wide receiver available. And it was shocking that he was available. So I think this was a very good move. And being on the defensive tackles you can get in the second round, I'm going to give this an A. This is a very good move because he's a top 10 talent that should or not have been available at round 20, at pick 26. I'm going to give it an A.
Seahawks took Rashad Penny, the second running back off the board. I think
second.
I think that shocked everyone. I give it a C. A lot of the draft analysts really liked him. I mean, there were better guys on the board. In Seattle, like, you look at Seattle, a team that has so many needs. They could have gone offensive tackle here. They could have gone offensive line. They could have gone a defensive player. They could have gone wide receiver. But they went running back. I think both of us agree that the Seahawks offseason has been confusing at best, and neither of us really understand what they're doing.
No.
To me, this kind of signals, like, John Schneider gets a lot of credit for being their GM, but I think he's got to be on the hot seat. And I'd be shocked if they don't make the playoffs next year. I'd be shocked if he has his job next year.
I wouldn't be.
It's a real head scratcher for me. I just don't get it.
Well, I wouldn't be because they might be giving him the chance to rebuild that team, which you can agree with or disagree with. Maybe he won't. Maybe he will. But I don't think this was the second best running back available. I think I said that the other day on the actual podcast. I thought Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, and I think Darius Geis, all three are better than Penny. But besides that, besides the point, or you could put Chubb and Penny around the same spot. But besides that, I'm gonna give it a C because they did not get the best player at that position, and it was not the top needed. That was not the position that was the top needed. So I'm gonna give it a C. I was almost ready to give it a D, but I gave it a C.
Yeah, for me, I think that, yeah. Moving on to the Steelers, let's start with the trade. Martavis Bryant for, I believe, a third rounder. What is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct, actually. To the Oakland Raiders.
That's an awesome move for the Raiders. They needed to, after losing Michael Crabtree this offseason, they needed to add a secondary receiver next to Cooper. Martavis Bryant gives them that. This is really the first move of a Raiders offseason to me that has made sense.
Yeah.
It's a good trade. He was a Pittsburgh didn't really want him. They got the value. They got really good value for him. I don't think there's a loser of this trade, to be honest with you. I like the decision for both teams.
I don't, and generally, I don't think there's a loser for this either side of this trade, but I thought the Steelers could get a second rounder, or they weren't going to get a first rounder. That wasn't going to happen. I thought that was pretty clear, but I thought they could have got a second rounder. But all in all, we knew this was coming. Him and the Steelers have had problems for the past year with the whole playing time and every just all the little mess that they've had problems. So I think this is a good trade given, and I think they were just getting kind of desperate to move Bryant.
Yeah, next pick, the Steelers take Terrell Edmonds. I don't know who this is. Chris, do you know who this is? Terrell Edmonds, like, had you ever heard of him going in the first round before this? Or no?
I don't really know of him that
Yeah.
well, but I generally,
So,
I would give it like this. What were you gonna say?
I think in this case we're just gonna default, and I kind of hate doing this. I think we'll just default to what the coverage said. Like, safety was a need for them, but they probably could have gotten him in the second round. So it was
No,
an
he was the first. He was the first rounder. He was predicted.
no. That's not what they were saying on NFL Network. They were saying that.
No, but I'm saying that he's been projected to go into the first round. That he.
Oh, that's not what the NFL Network guys were saying, but
Well, I'm gonna give
I
him
don't
a.
know.
I'm gonna give this a B
I mean,
because.
I'm indifferent on this. There were better players available, but I mean, you addressed the need, so sure.
Yeah.
Really, what this was Ryan Shazier walked out. That was a really emotional moment, and really cool to see him doing better.
Yeah, for sure. That was a nice thing to see. That's a nice story. All you could tell he was the way he was walking was he was struggling, but you see progress, so that's a great thing to see, and it's a nice story. But to this pick, like I said, I'm gonna give it a B, but just because they addressed the defense and they addressed the defense in a position that they needed, and I think this was a pretty good player that they got. So like I said, I can't say what like rank him or anything like that, but he's good enough where I'd say I'd give it a B.
All right, the Jaguars took Taven Bryan at 29. I'm gonna give this one an A. Excellent fit. He adds depth. He probably won't start, but I mean, he's a good player and he's gonna add depth. And the Jaguars' defense continues to be stacked, so it's a good move.
I'm gonna say what I was gonna say about him, then I'm gonna ask you a question. I think this was a good depth move just because there really isn't that many needs for this team. But, and I would give it a B, and I'd give it an A probably, A or B. But do you think you would have rather see them draft Lamar Jackson? Because I saw several tweet outs about the Jaguars drafting Lamar Jackson. Do you think they should have drafted Lamar Jackson?
I would have personally liked to seen it, and I know that there's been kind of talk around the Jaguars all offseason where if Bortles hadn't hurt his wrist and they weren't forced to pick up his fifth-year option,
yeah,
they would have heavily targeted Kirk Cousins. But I just – I mean, I don't
it's
think
–
Lamar Jackson would – they'd have to rework the whole system. They know what they're going to get from Bortles. I mean, as much as people bag on Bortles, you have to admit, the last two games he played of his season were probably the best of his career. So there's some progress there. So, I mean, I don't mind it.
I'm going to say no, they shouldn't have drafted him because of their defense is good enough to carry that team. I mean, it's good enough to carry it all the way, pretty much. Maybe not win the Super Bowl, but to the AFC Championship. And I don't think you need to mess that up and put Lamar Jackson in and change everything offensively. Just stay with what you have, at least for this season. See what happens with Blake Bortles and just stick with it.
Yep.
It's just something I saw and I was going to propose it.
Vikings took Mike Hughes, a cornerback out of UCF. I'm going to give this pick a B. It's a good fit. They didn't really have any needs, but it was good for them. Like, they addressed a need before they needed. They were really going to need a cornerback next year. They have their slot corners get, like, 32 years old currently. So they were going to need a corner next year. So they got their guy early, and they're going to be able to develop him for a year and get him to fit into the system. So it's a great pick for them. I don't have any real problem with it.
I'm going to give it an A because based off of that reason, because you're addressing a need before you need it when you don't really have that many needs. So you can't go wrong with it. So I'm going to give it an A.
Absolutely. And then finally, not finally, Patriots took Sony Michel at 31. I gotta give this an A. I think it's excellent. They've been going running back by committee for a while, and I think that's still gonna be the way it is. I don't think Michelle's gonna be the starter. I think they're gonna mix him into the backfield. They grab Jeremy Hill. I think they're gonna make Jeremy Hill a star. They've got a really good rushing attack and a really good pass catching back attack. Whereas people are saying, oh, you lost Brandon Cooks, I think that offense this year is going to be, especially with Brady getting older, it's going to be much more about running the ball, screen passes, running back formations, you know, and I think this is a good pick.
Yeah, I really think this is a good pick. This is a good sign for the Patriots and any Patriots fan. This is a very good sign that Tom Brady is clearly coming back. I think it's clear at this point. Even though he already made it official.
Yeah, he already made it official.
And that's probably why these happen in this order instead of them drafting a quarterback in the first round. I think this is a very good sign for even this year, next year. Picked up as far as the trade grade goes, I'll give it an the draft grade goes, I'll give it an A. Very versatile running back, pass catcher. You can use them in the pass option or in the running game. You can't go wrong with this. This is an A.
Absolutely. Final pick of the draft, Ravens traded back in for Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
I can't complain with this pick. I thought it was an excellent pick. And I have a bold prediction for you.
Oh, gosh. Yep.
I think Joe Flacco is on the bench by week 3. One, I just don't think Joe Flacco's that good anymore. And I think they've realized that. And with the addition of this tight end, I think this year they're going to reformat the offense and they're going to force Joe Flacco out. I really think I know some people hate Lamar Jackson, but I really like Lamar Jackson. I wish the Broncos would have traded back into the first round to grab him. But like you said, it's clear they're going to stick with Keenum. So I really, 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 yeah, that for me, that's what it comes down to. I love this pick for the Ravens. It's an A for me.
I can't go with the prediction of 3 weeks, so I think
okay.
That's crazy. I think
yeah, I know. That's it's bold.
It's so. Very bold, because I don't think he'll be starting at all next season. Except for the preseason, of course, maybe in a meaningless game or something, or a fourth quarter or something. Of course, he'd probably start, but I don't think he's going to be starting a full game, a full meaningful game. But as far as the trade goes, I got to give it an A. Joe Flacco hasn't been playing that well in the past couple of seasons. You pretty much grade this based on, do you think Joe Flacco's going to be good again or going to be starting for the next couple of years? If you say no, then this is a good trade. If you think he's going to be starting for 3 or 4 more years, and you think this is a bad trade, that's how simple this is. So I'm gonna give it an A, and I like the trade. It's going to be a good fit.
All right, before we get to winners and losers, I'm going to throw out a few names. The only like 5 remaining that I know, and they're all offensive players. You just tell me where you think they're going to land. Darius Geis. For me, I think the Broncos draft him. They have a major need at running back.
I haven't really. Where are the Broncos picking at the second round? I mean, this
the fifth pick of the second round.
Okay, the fifth pick. Yeah, I would go. Yeah, I agree with you.
These are all high round picks. These are all high second round picks, of course. Nick Chubb, where do you think he's gonna go?
I gotta look and see where the what teams are picking. Where? I can see him going to Indianapolis as one of those. They have 2 second round picks. I can see him going to one of those 2. Picks.
What about Cortland Sutton?
I'm going to say Chicago. Where are you saying?
Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph. Ooh, that one. That one's a little hard because I think he's going to go a little further down. Maybe Miami picks him up.
And Luke Falk.
Luke Falk. Write down my list and see where the next need for a draft picks are. What do you think?
I think Luke Falk will do Patriots.
I could see that. Especially they have a couple of picks. Yeah, that makes sense because I see Rudolph going before Falk. So yeah, I would agree with that. I would go Patriots.
All right, you wrote a great piece, Winners and Losers, on PSF. I noticed it was a lot of teams. Why don't you give me one team winner and one team loser, then I'll do one team winner and one team loser, and then we'll each do one player/position winner, loser.
All right, so... Do you want me to go both winner and loser right now?
Yeah.
All right. For me, my top winner of the draft is the Jets, the New York Jets. And it was tough between them and the Patriots. I thought the Patriots were real winners. I think you got your future quarterback, Sam Darnold, the best pick. You got the best prospect at the most important position. And you were the one that really needed it, so they're the biggest winner for me. And for me, loser, I think it's going to be the Oakland Raiders. I thought they lost out on some key defensive players that they could have gotten, but instead they went with the offensive tackle, Colton Miller. I didn't agree with that, so the Oakland Raiders are my biggest loser.
For me, winner, I'll go with the team you have secondly. I think you're right, but I think the Patriots.
Yeah.
were big winners. And the Chargers, obviously, big winners. Losers, I'm going to throw out two teams that you didn't leave put on, and I'm really confused that you didn't. You said the Saints were a toss-up. I would have said the Saints lost big. Also, a team you didn't even mention, I'd say the Niners lost the biggest of any team.
Because I don't think they lost the biggest. I really don't. I think they – I could have put them on toss-up. I didn't think about them when I was doing this. And as far as the Saints go, I think it's a toss-up just based on how Devonport plays. Right now, I'm not so sure. I don't know if he's a – what kind of prospect he is as far as really good or really toss-up. So I'm going to go toss-up. That's why I went toss-up on them.
All right. I'll start with kind of a player slash personnel winners and losers. For me, winners got to be Bradley Chubb. He went to the best possible situation for a pass rusher. He's going to be able to learn from the best pass rusher in the league in Von Miller, the best edge rusher in the league in Von Miller, at least. I'd say he's the biggest personnel winner. Biggest loser, and this is simply because of the money these players make from where they're drafted, has to be Calvin Ridley. I have no idea how or why he fell as far as he did. That's one of these things that I'm going to be interested to keep my eye on and figure out kind of why that happened. But he's going to be one of the bigger player losers. Even though he got into a good situation, he's not going to make as much money. So I think you have to consider him a loser for a guy who was kind of universally considered top 15 talent to fall even out of a top 25 is really not a great look.
For me, hold on one second. For me, the biggest winner for me as far as personnel is Sam Darnold. He got in a pretty good situation and will be mentored by Josh McCown, which has been in the league for years. That's a pretty good – being a good, pretty good mentor situation. And the biggest loser for me, I'm going to have to – if we're going to go with money as well, I'm going to have to agree with you, Calvin Ridley. Falling down to 26, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's it for this episode. We will be back on Monday when we'll do, I think, our NFC. We're going to recap the NFC first. I'm going to see if maybe Tuesday or Wednesday we can get a special guest on the pod to talk about the AFC.
Just kind of these quick things, comments. Eric's brother is apparently better than Eric, according to Brian. Well, or greater than, however that's worded. And that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, thanks, Brian. But anyways, yeah, this was a lot of fun. I didn't think I was going to be able to do this tonight. I'm glad I did. Glad I got it out of the way. It's 11:48 here, but it's kind of later for me. It's nearly 2 near you. So I'll let you go. We'll have this podcast out audio-wise in the morning, probably around 12 or 1 in the afternoon Eastern time tomorrow.
By the way, if anybody, you can go back and rewatch this. So if it's before we put it out, you can go back and rewatch it. So
yes, and I retweeted this on my Twitter feed. So Eric18Utah, you can check it out there, or Chris
C _01.
C something 01.
Y'all know where I'm at, probably.
And of course on our regular Twitter feed. So thank you very much for joining us. And we'll have a pod out tomorrow and we'll share that link as always. Hope you guys have a great night and we'll see you Monday. Peace out.